Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
and blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory. O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is number 8. It can be found on your insert. O Lord, our Governor,
I exalt your name in all the world.
Out of the mouths of infants and children,
your majesty is praised above
You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. What is man that you should be mindful of him? You have made him but a little lower than angels. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen,
even the wild beasts of the field,
the birds of the air, the fish of the sea,
and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our governor,
the second reading is from Romans 5. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak whenever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take things that is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason I said I will take what is mine and declare it to you. the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start by saying thank you to Zeta. That was wonderful. Can we give you a hand and embarrass you a little? Thank you. Thank you for sharing your gift. Thank you for the gift that you are at St. James. And I'm grateful for the leadership of Lynn Sharp, your rector, not only among you in this part of the world, but also in the district, as well as in the diocese. We are very grateful to you, Lynn, for your leadership. And thank you, Gary, for your living and loving presence and for your ministry among us in so many ways. Trinity Sunday is such a beautiful reminder to us of the heart of God. Because I believe in the heart of God is the dream that in the varied expressions of life in the world, God is hoping that we will have one purpose and one purpose alone. That all of us will be pursuers of love. And I believe that is probably why it is so important for us to recognize that these two seemingly contradictory realities, the diversity of life and the unity that we are called to, are placed within the heart of our identity of God. We call it the Trinitarian understanding of God because in God there is a community. We call it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating, redeeming, sustaining presence as a unity, as one in spite of being many. So I wondered if I could lift up a few lessons for us so that we might be reminded, because it's not new news, it's really a reminder to us that at the heart of God is this deep desire that we will be one. I was raised in a church in India, which is called the Church of South India, where in 1947, a few denominations, namely Anglican, Presbyterian, British Methodist, Congregational, and Reformed churches, came together after 30 years of discussion and formed one church. It's called the Church of South India. It's really about describing the jurisdiction or the geography. South India, church. Church of South India. Can you imagine that all of them agreed on the Lambeth Quadrilateral, which basically is that we agree on the two scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, the two sacraments, baptism, Holy Communion, the two creeds, Nicene and Apostles' Creed, and the historic episcopate. Can you imagine Presbyterians agreeing to that? Well, they did. And I believe it was because they wanted to pursue love more than just their agreement or their disagreement. It's a wonderful illustration, I believe, of a community of people very diverse, varied languages, varied denominations of roots, coming together and saying, we want to respond to the prayer of Jesus that they all may be one. Are there conflicts? Oh, sure. As one of the books that I read a long time ago said, where two or three are gathered together, someone spills the milk. Well, community is hard, right? Community is hard. It's much easier to say my way or the highway. It is, right? Some of you have tried it, haven't you? I've tried it sometimes. Community is hard. getting people to come together, getting people to agree together is hard. And I believe that is why the Trinity is so precious and important for us. Because within the Trinity, I believe there is a call for us to understand the equity of diversity. There is an equity in the Godhead. I don't believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are sort of elbowing each other and saying, I'm better than you. I don't think there would be a Trinity if that's what the Godhead is about. That community is an illustration to us that diversity can have unity and should have unity. I was recently reminding myself of something that I had read a while back from Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink. And in it and in other books as well, he has mentioned the story of the guy who was behind the various flavors of spaghetti sauce. Have you heard of this guy? Howard Moskowitz was his name. And in the 70s, I believe Pepsi first came to him and said, we want to introduce this sugar substitute called aspartame, and we are not very sure what degree or percentage we should use. We believe it's somewhere between 8% and 12%, but can you help us determine what that is? Howard Moskowitz was a psychophysicist. That's what, I don't know what that means, but apparently these are the fellows who actually do these surveys and figure out where the sweet spot is. And so he was assigned that duty. So he went to a lot of focus groups, got a lot of data, and the data didn't make sense. He kept looking back and forth. There was no bell curve. There was no way to say, here is the middle point. And apparently, he was such a studious researcher that he just decided not to find or not to guess a spot. And many years later, he was still wrestling with this question because Pepsi had come to him and said, what is the perfect Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, right? Many years later, he was pondering this and he came out one day and said, oh my gosh, I've been asking the wrong question. The question should be, what are the perfect Pepsis? And that led to a whole revolution in the industry because Campbell Soup came to him and said, can you help us figure out how to make this the perfect soup? Right? And then he went and did his magic, and after a lot of data, he came out with basically three categories of Americans: those who like plain, those who like spicy, and those who like chunky. Apparently, that's how it breaks down, right? Now, until that time, there was no such thing called chunky. But he introduced that because I believe what he decided was that there is a sort of an equity of diversity. Different people like different things. And their happiness is connected to different things because they are different. Well, if you take the Pentecost story, that's no different, right? If you go to an aisle today, you will see probably about 45 versions of Prego sauce, right? And chunky is one of them. What does that mean? It means that there is one sauce and many expressions. Are you with me? Is this too strange? You've eaten, I see. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a variety of expressions. Zeta gave us a taste of that this evening. That was her expression of love. You have an expression that's uniquely you. I have an expression that's uniquely me. God wants all of us to find our expression of love. And so there is a diversity but an equity within that diversity. All voices matter. All lives matter. All expressions of love matter. The second aspect of the Trinity that I love is that there is a unity within that diversity. It's one thing for us to disagree. You've heard the phrase, right? Let's agree to disagree. Right? We say that a lot. I say that in my head a lot. But maybe I need to change that phrase to, let's agree to love, even when we disagree. How better the world would be if we were able to move more directly that way, like Jesus did, like Jesus calls us to do as the body of Christ, to love first, despite our disagreements, to love always, despite our disagreements. But perhaps the greatest expression of this is found in the way the church, the early church, lived out its faith. The early church had to cross a very important threshold, and it's described, I believe, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter had this vision. Do you remember Peter, the big fisherman? He was sort of the leader of the early church. And he had this vision of animals of all kinds coming down from heaven. And the word of God was, go kill and eat. And Peter went, I cannot do that. There are some that are clean, there are some that are unclean. I've been brought up as a good Jewish person who understands that not everything is pure. And there God reminds him, what I have made pure, you do not need to make impure. I believe that was a threshold that the church crossed when they had to recognize that the presence of God was more important than whether something was pure or impure. That's why the Gentile mission was born. Until that time, the church was a very Jewish church, a small community of people. And all of a sudden, they went out into the world and saw the Spirit of God in all people. That's the rest of the story is really a faithfulness of the people of God in recognizing that unity was more important or as important as diversity. That's the hard work. That's why community is hard. But finally, I want to encourage you to recognize that at the heart of God is this unique sense of recognition that I cannot exist without you. Well, that's really the expression, the greatest expression of the incarnation, that God so loved the world that God would send God's Son into the world, knowing that he would not be received with open arms, knowing that there would be a lot of opposition to this way of love. There is a word from South Africa, I believe it's in the Zulu language, and the word is Ubuntu. The word Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U, it basically means, I am because you are. I am because you are. We are all related. We may not look like it, but we are all related. When something happens to you that is good, I rejoice. When something happens to you that is not good, I mourn. I should mourn. Because we are connected. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Ubuntu is a call for us to not only believe in these high ideals, but to practice it. The dream of God is a very simple dream, I believe. And from creation, through the Holy Spirit's advent, you see that dream being a constant prayer that we will pursue love, that there will be equity and unity. or diversity. That our diversity will always pursue a unity. And that I am because you are. Amen. Let us affirm these ancient words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Prayers of the People is Form 6. It can be found on page 392. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, friends, and enemy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For Michael, our presiding bishop, Prince, our bishop, for Lynn and Gary, our priest, and for all bishops and other ministers. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
We'll put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. My sisters and brothers, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Brookdale, and then...
See you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, and giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in Christ's care, and bring us to that heavenly country where with James and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the
time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
I will praise your name. I will praise your name. Glorify, I will lift on high your name, Lord.
page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son,
our Savior Jesus Christ.
You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve with gladness and simplicity through Christ our Lord. Before I pronounce the blessing, I would like to mutually return a blessing that Lynn always gives to you, which is to pray for you. Would you join me in praying for Lynn as she prepares to take some time off and walk a lot and pray a lot and eat healthy, read and so on and come back healthy? So would you raise your hand and point it towards Lynn as we pray for her? Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you are the one who calls us, and you also know the way to equip us because you are faithful. We thank you for the many blessings that you have endowed on this, your child, Lynn. We thank you that she has been faithful to you and you to her. And now we are grateful that this community of beloved people have thought it in their hearts to send her to take some time for rest, for rejuvenation, and an opportunity to vibrate more closely with your love and your presence. We pray that this will be a time of blessing for her, that she will find renewal and refreshment, that she will find safety and your presence at all times. Go with her. Keep her in the palm of your hand and bring her back to us at the right time. We commit this community of your beloved flock into your care, that you will tend them during this time, that they will tend for each other and be kind and gracious to one another. And all of us join in our great thanksgiving in praying for this wonderful leader among us, a shepherd that you have entrusted to our care. And so we pray your blessing upon her in the name of Christ and his everlasting love. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always.
Amen.
Thank you.
go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.